6th chapter, 1 Timothy. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Let's start reading at verse number 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Let us pray. Father, once again tonight, this preacher needs your help, as he always does. And in fact, Father, it's not really the help I need. I just need you to do it through me. And I ask you for it. Tonight, once again, as we preach your word, we pray that it'll be a blessing to your people. Lord, that's what our desire is, and we just want to learn the word of God together and help us learn the precepts of thy word so that we might live according as you'd have us to live. And Father, I need the wisdom tonight to do that. And so, Father, I pray for the clarity of mind and thought and speech. I pray, Father, for attentive spirit, that we might just listen, hear, and then do the word of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I'm going to preach on the subjects of the importance of finances in the home. I'm going to spend probably a week or two or three, I don't know, but somewhere in there on the finances. And I think it'll help. I believe we need it. And in fact, I doubt very much that any of us understand the importance and the great stress that finances put on the home. So when we've been preaching on the home, it's just a natural thing to go on into this, because this will help lift some of the great stress that's upon the homes in America. Because finances, Satan, I believe, uses that tremendously to put stress upon God's people. And so we need to see what God says about it. I think sometimes we're unaware, unless we really know our Bibles, we're unaware of the amount of times that God talks about finances in the Word. We're unaware of that. We don't realize that God has so much to say about it. And I won't be able to cover all of it, I'm sure, but we're going to try to cover some things even tonight. I just want to kind of help you to understand that God is concerned about our finances. He's concerned about them, and he knows that unless we do those right, we're going to have a lot of troubles. He knows that. And so I want to help God's people in some of the principles. I know I don't have all the answers. God does. But I know I don't have all the answers. I don't claim to have all the answers. But I think I can give you some precepts from his word that will help you as you go through this life and as you spend your money and as you obtain money, that it might help you understand. God is concerned with what we do with our money. Now, I want you to get a hold of that, because, folks, he's as concerned about that as he is anything else. Anything in the Christian's life, he's concerned about it. And he's concerned about our finances. In fact, over in the book of Proverbs, 15th chapter, 27th verse of the book of Proverbs, he says this: "He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house." Now, get a hold of that. God said that. God pinned it down. He said, "He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house." If a person is greedy, now he's talking about, not talking about someone who's out trying to make a living and works hard and brings home a paycheck and tries to support his family and take care of his family, but it's talking about greedy of gain. Okay? Being greedy for gain, he's talking about, he says, you'll bring trouble to your own house. I think you'd probably, if you go back through the scriptures, like I've done from time to time, think about this as you go through some of the people that's in the Word of God, you remember Balaam caused a lot of problem, brought trouble because of his greed. Balaam was a greedy man, and he wanted the material riches that he could get from Moab simply because he couldn't bring himself to curse God's people, but he wanted that which Moab offered. offered. And he caused all kinds of trouble. Finally got them to intermarry in with the Gentiles and with the heathens. And because of that, Israel was cursed. Not only that, and it doesn't say money, but you know, Demas says he, having loved this present world, the world system, he loved this present world. We know Judas was a lover of money. He sold the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And you remember Joseph's brothers? You remember they said, well, let's just get him up out of that pit. Let's just sell him. Let's just get rid of him. 20 pieces of silver they sold him for. And certainly, did they bring trouble to their house? Oh, certainly they did. God's word, remember something, God's word is always true. And it will, and it will follow through and take place. And if God said that he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, that will happen. Amen. You don't believe that? You maybe need to check with the Kennedy family. Oh my, greedy of gain, and look at the troubles and heartaches that family has suffered. And certainly, I'm mentioning that name simply because it's a well-known name, and everybody here can associate with it and say that's true. But that's true in multitudes of families. Greedy of gain, and you'll trouble your own house. The reason I'm bringing that out is simply this, folks: I don't believe there's a person here really wants to bring trouble to his own house. I don't believe that. I don't believe there's anybody here who say, boy, I'd like to bring trouble in my own house. You know, I don't believe that. But I think sometimes we miss the principles that are there. And God says, if we're greedy of gain, we will bring trouble. You troubleth your own house. So we're going to look at some of these things. I want you to keep your place there in Timothy. Turn with me over to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, the third chapter. Sorry, I didn't give you a chapter. Third chapter, and let me just start reading at verse 14. This is familiar scripture, I know, but I just want to bring a point or two out that might help us. It says, and in the 14th verse, third chapter, Revelation, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, and that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Not only will greedy gain cause trouble to the home, it'll cause trouble to the church. You see, this is a church represented here, and they begin to be greedy. They begin to desire and have, let me say, the materialistic things of this world. And because of that, they lost their vision of God and the spiritual things. They didn't even know they was in a mess. They had lost it. They didn't even know that. They didn't realize they was blind and wretched and poor. They didn't believe, they didn't understand that. And the reason was they had gained riches things. They said, we have all the riches we need. We've increased in goods. We've got everything we need, but they didn't have it. Let me say to you, you got to be careful even in a church, folks, because you will lose our spirituality if we get our eyes on the material. You understand? Now, who is the church? It's not just the building here that we're saying, okay, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, now if you get its eyes on the material things, you're going to bring trouble to the church. No, it's people, it's us. It's the memberships. Understand? You see, and that's why every one of us, it's very important how we deal in finances. Very, very, very important. We need God more than we need finances. But let me say to you, if we got God, we'll get finances. Because God, that's the way God rules. God knows he uses the tithes and offerings of God's people to run a church. That's the way he does it. That's his plan. Amen? You know, I'm appalled. We got a Wednesday night crowd here, and I can certainly say this to you. Sunday morning, a lot of times, you know, if you get to talking about money and things like that, they get all offended, especially if they're people who are not members and all that. They think you preach about money all the time. But I can talk to my people. It's an odd thing. And honestly, it is, and ought not to be that way. But it's an odd thing. You can watch the offerings of the church. When it comes summertime, vacation time, they go down. Christmas time, they go down. I mean, they just go down. And I'm saying this, honestly, folks, they just go down. I mean, they drop drastically sometimes. And you get around vacation time, you get around other things, you see the church offerings go down. Listen, there is a principle, and that's why God has laid that principle out. The tithes and the offering of God's people will support the church. And if every one of us will tithe and give our offerings, the church will be supported. Now that's truth. That's truth, brethren. But what happens is we get away from our tithes and offerings. You know what we do, honestly? We'll talk about this probably more in our messages. But the first thing we do when we get in financial trouble, we drop tithing. Well, that's the craziest thing in the world to do. How can you expect the blessings of God when you drop tithing? You can't do it. You can't do that. You say, what, for the church? No, for you. You can't do that. God can't bless you. You say, but I don't have enough money. Well, listen, folks, God didn't say if you had enough money, tithe. He said tithe. I mean, honestly, didn't he? Does he say, okay, if you got a certain amount of dollars, if you don't have that much, just forget tithing? God doesn't do that. Come on. God's word is God's word. It's truth. Amen. And what you do is you pull the blessings of God off of your life. You say, I know, but I just can't. I know. But you pull the blessings of God off your life. Because God has said in the book of Malachi, if you rob God, he says he'll turn the devourer loose. And that's what he does. You're not going to get it anyway. It's going to be God. You're going to lose it. Somewhere along the line, you're going to lose it. See, the best thing to do is get the principle down. I'm going to pay my tithes and offerings, and I'm just going to do that week after week after week, no matter what happens, because I have a God who's promised me. I didn't say you wouldn't have some hard times, difficult times. God tests and tries his people, doesn't he? Sure he does. But what are we supposed to do? Just mind the word. And I'm saying that simply this, folks. Listen, it is God's plan for God's people, all of God's people, to give their tithes and their offerings to God's work. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? And when we don't do that, we hinder the work of God. Amen? You just understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you personally. Amen? Certainly we help the church, but I'm trying to help you personally because that's where the blessings of God come upon your life, you see. All right. So we know, and this church had just got its eyes off of the things of God and got its eyes upon the material. They didn't think they needed anything because they had their eyes upon the material riches of this world. And my friend, they was blind and was wretched and they was poor and they couldn't even see. Said, you better get some eye salve. Amen. So, all right. Now, I want to go back then to the book of Timothy where we was at. So I'm saying, finances can hurt the home, finances can hurt the church. Amen? It can hurt it. We got to do our finances right. Now, in those verses I read in chapter 6, it simply says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. I had a man tell me the other day, he said, well, I'll tell you what, I believe. And I said, what's that? And he said, I believe that God wants all of his children to have. And he wants them to have plenty. This man has some money. And he said, I believe that God wants all of us to have it. And I said, well, you mean he thinks God wants us to be rich? And he said, yes. And I said, would you give me a verse and a book and a chapter and a verse on that? You know, he didn't know what to say. And he started stuttering around. He said, well, I believe that. Don't care what anybody says. And I said, you don't care what God says either. I said, I wish you'd go talk to Apostle Paul a little while. Apostle Paul was sometimes abounded. Sometimes he was abased. Sometimes he didn't have... The Word of God says that he didn't even have enough to eat. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was in the cold. He was in nakedness, which means he didn't have enough clothes to keep him warm. But Apostle Paul, as we say here in a few minutes, said, I just learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. See, that teaching is going around. That's what the PTL club used to teach. And that's a lot of other of these religious organizations. They teach, but you're supposed to be rich. And if you're not rich, you're out of the will of God. That's a bunch of baloney. You better look at the apostles. Now, I'm not saying, now listen to me. If you are rich, doesn't mean you're out of the will of God either. okay? I'm not trying to put this one-sided. I'm simply saying, let's don't look around saying, because you see, that's what was being taught. Gain is godliness. Boy, if I gain a lot, I'm godly. Amen? Oh, no, no, no. That doesn't mean any such thing. Just because a person's rich doesn't mean they're godly. Doesn't mean any such thing. Now, they may be godly. Amen? They may be godly, but that doesn't mean anything, you see. And he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. He said, that's what I want you to look at. I want you to realize that godliness with contentment is great gain. Being godly and being content, that's great gain. Okay? And he says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Folks, I want to tell you a secret. When you go to die, you'll take nothing with you. I don't care if they bring stacks of $1,000 bills and put them in your casket. Where you're going, you'll take none of it with you. And God says you brought nothing in, you'll take nothing out. Amen? And so he says in verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. God is teaching us a truth. The very basics of life, food and raiment, the very basics is where our contentment ought to be. That ought to be the level of contentment. Understand? You say, that's all I'm supposed to have? No, not necessarily. But that's the level of contentment. What happens, honestly, and we old Christians, listen to what happens. We've got our contentment level way up here. Now, here's the basis. And our contentment level is way up here. We're not satisfied unless we have this. But God says, learn to be content, food and raiment. And then if God gives you more, well, praise his name. Thank God for it. But can be content right here. Amen. Now, that's what God's teaching us. That's what Paul's teaching us here. You understand? He's teaching us that this is your contentment. And living in America, you see, there's not too many folk that are content with food and raiment. You understand? We don't get too content with that. We want everything else. But God says what you've got to learn to do is be content with just food and raiment. That's your contentment level. Okay? And then he says, but they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. He says, but they that will to be rich, those who want to be rich, desire to be rich, he says, they're going to have all kinds of problems. They're going to fall into temptations. They're going to fall into snares. He says, into foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. He said, it's going to be a mess. If your desire is to be rich and that's what you covet after, and that's what you seek after, you're going to fall into some troubles and temptations and heartaches that you're just going to have an awful time in life. Understand? It's going to cause you problems all through life. And he says, why? Why is that so? Because of the love of money is the root of all evil. And while some covet after, they have erred from the faith. And he said, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. He said, many people have sought after the riches of this world to the place they err from the faith. They turn from the faith. You can see this to some degree, and I'm not trying to put people in your mind. I'm trying to say a principle. But you see this to some degree when you see people who are seeking after the world's goods. I mean, they're really seeking after it. You'll see their church attendance drop off. You'll see their faithfulness to the Bible and reading the Bible and prayer life drop off. Why? Because they're so caught up in the making of mammon that they just drop all these other things. It's like a snare. You understand? God said it would be that way. Understand? It's very serious, folks. So keep a balance. Keep a balance. God's not against you making a living, but keep a balance, folks. Don't go against what God's word to do it. I say, oh, Brother Ross, I made some extra money. I did this or I did this. I tell you what, I worked over on Wednesday night, so I made some extra money. You didn't make anything. The old devourer is going to get that. You think for 1 minute that you think God would look down and say, boy, I'm glad he's working over. Of course, there's the rest of the family of God in church. Now, you think God would say that? I mean, honestly, look at it. Do you think God would rather have you out there doing something that you did not have to do, or would he rather have you in church? I mean, use some sense. Amen. Don't look at it from the worldly standpoint. Look at it from what God would want. What does God want? Amen. So we got to be very careful, because what happens, God is telling us these things are going to cause us problems. And Satan knows they're going to cause you problems. And it's going to get you in a mess in your Christian life. And you're going to have a hard time getting out of that once you got in that mess. See? All right. Turn with me now over to the... Well, wait a minute. Before we do that, turn over to verse 17 of that same chapter. Let me just real quickly read this. Verse 17 of chapter 6, 1 Timothy. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us riches, giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, God tells us he gives us things to enjoy. You say, Brother Ross, does God want us to enjoy certain things? Yes, he does. But there's a principle. There's a thing that he wants you to be careful of. He says, now charge them, or give them a charge, that if they're rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Let me tell you something. Riches are uncertain. They can be gone in a moment's time. Anybody want to testify? Say, Brother Ross, boy, I've got this laid back, and I'm going to do this with that, and boy, praise God, I'm ready, and I don't care what happens, and next month, all the ones, where'd he go? Took wings, brother. Amen? Amen. Yes, sir. That one man said, you know, money talks, and he said, the only thing they ever said to me was bye-bye. Amen? Have you had that experience? Yeah. He said bye-bye to me a lot of times. Amen. Uncertain riches. God said, uncertain riches. You got to pick it. Don't trust in that. He said, you trust in God. In all seriousness, I'm just saying this, no matter who we are, say you've got some money laid up. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I'm saying, who are you going to trust in? Don't trust in that money. Trust in the God who gave it to you, who allowed you to get it. Keep your faith, your trust in God, and realize, because those riches could, in a moment's time, be gone. Worthington Bank went under. Some folk I knew, I heard of, a man told me that should have known anyway, and one man lost $118,000. If you have $100,000, that's all they will guarantee. He had $218,000 in the bank, and they paid him back the $100,000. Now, they say he may get part of that back. He might have been a Christian, and God was just getting it. What I'm saying is, banks can close. All kinds of things can happen. Money can go. Don't put your trust in uncertain riches. That's what he's telling, though. If you're rich, don't put your trust in uncertain riches. Okay? Now, he says, they, in verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. He says, in other words, what you should be doing is doing good work, that they be rich in good works. It's better to be rich in good works than to be rich in money. That's what God's saying. But also, he's saying also, ready, though, to distribute, willing to communicate. Ready. In other words, if a person is rich, here's the deal. God is saying, look, what you do is this. Whenever I want you to use some of it over here, you just be ready to go distribute it. You be ready to communicate it. And if I say something next week, hey, I've got some need over here, you get ready to go get it out of the bank and get rid of it. That's what God is saying. He's not saying, you can't take care of the whole world's problems, folks. Nobody in here can do that. I know I can't. You can't either. You can't do that. What you're supposed to do is, as God speaks to your heart, that's when you do it. But have a heart that will listen. Amen? Have a heart that will say, God, this is, in my bank account, it is yours. I mean, it's yours. And whenever you tell me to go do something, and my heart will be tender, I want you to know, I'll do it whenever you tell me, then get ready to do it when God tells you. That's one of the reasons on my offerings, and sometimes I don't know whether I'm strong enough on offerings or not, but you know what? We get some good offerings, especially on special speakers. I said that one night, and I said, well, just give what God wants, and we ended up, I think, with Brother Hurt, I think we gave him around $900. But that come because people gave. You understand what I'm saying? You see, and I want you to give as God tells you to give. And that's what the Word is telling us. Be ready to distribute. Be ready to communicate. And that means to give and help someone else. Just be ready. Whenever God says to do it, then do it. Amen. Remember something. There's not a dime you've got or have I've got that belongs to me or you. That's the attitude you've got to remember. It belongs to God. He's just letting you handle it and use it and distribute it. Understand? Now, would our hearts say that to God? God, everything I have, I don't care what it is, everything I've got is yours. If you tell me to go do something with it, I'll do it. Would we be willing to do that? Huh? You see, that's the principle that God wants in our finances. Amen? And then listen to Him. Okay? Listen to Him, the Holy Spirit of God, speaking to your heart and impressing you that this is what He wants. Honestly, I mean this, I guess because over the years, I don't have any trouble of knowing in a certain situation what God wants us to do. My wife and I usually will talk about it if it's certain things, and if it's a special gift, and I'll say, honey, I want you to think about it, pray about it, and I'll pray about it, and we'll come together and we'll decide what God wants. And it always comes up same. Always comes up same. We know God bears witness with us both. This is what we're supposed to do. That's just the way it is. And I think that's the way God wants us to do it. Amen? Okay. Now, in chapter 12 of Luke, I realize I have to hurry along. Chapter 12 of Luke. This is just introduction. Oh, no. No. Chapter 12 of Luke. verse 16, familiar verses again. We will read them. Quickly, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. We have a picture here, and you're familiar with this portion of Scripture, of a man who was thinking completely of self. All the way through this portion of Scripture, he talked about I and my. All the way through it. He thought everything he had belonged to him. Amen? And God said, I'll tell you what. Tonight, I'm going to take your soul. It's all over. Then who's going to belong to? Amen? Now, is there any of us here tonight, can we say that God won't say to us tonight, I'm going to take you home? Well, not a one of us can do that. Amen. What we need to do is be in a situation where we have said, instead of I or my and all this stuff, is yours. God, this is yours. Now, I may make plans to build some new barns. I may make plans to do this, or I may make plans to do that. But God, it's yours. I want you okay in the situation. You understand? Now look real quickly over in verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God says what the principle is. Let's seek the kingdom of God first. Let's seek His will. Let's seek what God wants for our life. And He said, I'll add all these other things to you. Okay? Now look in verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And God tells us the truth there. Heart always follows treasure. Remember that. Heart always follows treasure. Treasure never follows heart. Heart goes where your treasure is. Wherever your treasure is at, that's where your heart will be. Now, if your treasure is the things of this world, that's where your heart is. And if your treasures are things of God, that's where your heart is. Right? Understand? I mean, that's what God's saying to us, all right? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And He doesn't want our heart upon the things of this world. Okay? He doesn't want that. He wants a heart upon Him, laying up treasures in heaven, you see. All right. Turn with me, please, now, over to the book of Luke. I guess we're there, aren't we? 8th chapter. I'm the only one to turn back. 8th chapter. And let me just read two verses of Scripture. Verse verse number 7, first of all, and I'm just going to read the small amount of scripture. You can always read it. It's the parable of the sower. Verse number 7, and some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Now, the explanation of that verse of scripture is given by the Lord Jesus Christ in verse number 14. And he says this, and that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Now God was saying once again, what is it that chokes out the word of God? He says it's the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And then the fruit is not brought to perfection. And God is simply teaching us again and telling us, look, if you get your mind upon the cares of this world, the riches of this world, the pleasures of this world, it'll choke out the Word of God. That's why we have so many baby Christians. They literally allow the pleasures and riches and cares of this world to choke out the Word of God so they don't grow. They do not grow. I mean, they just do not. They refuse to. That's why they quit coming to church. That's why they quit reading their Bibles. That's why they quit testifying. That's why they quit witnessing to other people. They quit praying. They all do all the, you know why? Because the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this world has choked out the desire and the things of God, and their mind is on the things of this world. Now, God don't want that. God don't want that. God wants your minds and hearts upon the things of the Lord. Now, I'm not going to go over there for sake of time, but you all familiar with a portion of Scripture in the book of Mark, the 10th chapter, about the rich young ruler. He had many possessions. And you know what? God is warning us through all those things. Listen, riches are serious business. You better be careful. Multitudes of people, I believe, are not ready for heaven tonight because of their desire to seek after riches. They put their time and everything else and the seeking after the riches of this world, and they're not even taking time to get ready to meet God. And I believe many Christians are not serving God tonight like they ought to serve Him because their desires are the riches of this world. Understand? And God is warning us over and over and again, you got to be careful with riches. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:5, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. What God says. God says riches will make themselves wings. They'll fly away. They're gone. Don't put your trust in riches. Lay up treasures in heaven for eternal things and not for this old earth things. Over in the book of Ezekiel, again, I just don't turn there in the book of Ezekiel, but in the book of Ezekiel, it was talking to the prince of Tyrus. And here's what God said in chapter 28, verses 1 through 5, but at the end of it, he said this. He says, thine heart is lifted up because of riches. Our hearts get lifted up because he was rich. And he began to think he was somebody. He didn't need God. You know, we went to Midland, Michigan, and I'll never forget one man in the church there. I asked him, I said, what's Midland, Michigan like? And if any of you know anything about Midland, Michigan, it's a place where Dow Chemical Company practically owns the town. It's its headquarters. And it is big, it's large. I mean, it's all over. He said, they have Dow Chemical and they have big fat paychecks. They don't need God. That's exactly what he told me. That was the words he gave. He said, they got Dow. They got the big paychecks. They don't need God. And let me tell you something, that's true. That's the way people feel about it. If they've got this and that and all of this, they don't take for granted that the riches could be gone in a moment's time. They don't trust God. So the Bible says in Ezekiel there, thy heart was lifted up because of riches. Be very careful about riches. Now you say, Brother Ross, but I'm not rich. Well, I'm not real sure about that. I have a feeling we're so much more rich than my grandfather was, and my daddy was, and his daddy was. We're rich folk. We've got things that those folk never even thought anything about having. Amen? And I think that we're just pretty rich. You say, oh, brother, you don't know my situation. I think you're pretty rich. I think I'm pretty rich. All the things that God has given us, and we have. My, I think we're pretty rich.
We've got a whole lot. Amen. Now, we may not have big bank accounts, but we're pretty rich. We live in America, a great place. In America, my goodness, the blessings of God poured out upon this country. Whew. Turn with me to Philippians real quickly. Philippians, can you hold your place in Luke here? We'll come back to it, and Lord willing, we'll be done. Philippians, 4th chapter. Fourth verse. Excuse me, 10th verse. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Apostle Paul said, I tell you what I've learned to do. I've learned in my Christian life that there's times when I'm full. In other words, I've abounded. I have extra. I have more than I need. But he said, I also have learned in my Christian life there is times when I do not have enough of what the world would look at as enough. I am abased. In other words, I might even go hungry a day or two. But he said, what he was saying was this, but I have learned to whatever state I'm in to be content. And let me say something to you. That is something that has to be learned. The human flesh does not normally want to be content with the basic things of life. You have to learn contentment. You have to be willing. And that's why Paul said in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He said, I tell you what, I can learn that when I am abased, I can do all things through Christ. I can do it. And I also learn when I am abound, I also can learn I can do all things through Christ. Do you know sometimes it's harder to have extra and be what you ought to than to have less and be what you ought to? It takes the grace of God to learn how to do with the extra. Amen? It really does. It takes God's grace. And Paul said, I'll tell you what I've learned, I can do it through Christ. I can't do it in my own strength, but I can do it through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen? And he said, he said, I've learned to be content with such things I have. This is a principle that we need to learn. Young couples, I want to talk to you a minute, just a moment. If some of these older couples could talk with you, they'd tell you some things and they'd tell you some truths. Young couples, learn early to quit buying all the time and purchasing constantly. Please, please, for the sake of yourselves and your family and for the work of God, quit it. Tell me one, I want to tell you one thing that I think will help you. Live within your income, not somebody else's. You look over at your neighbor and say, boy, he's buying this, man, I got to have that. He may make more money than you do, or he may be deeper in debt than you are. Live within your income. And every time you go into a store, you do not have to buy. You say, but Brother Ross, that's a good deal. Wow. But you know what? Sometimes the better deal is to not purchase a good deal. If you haven't got the money, you don't need it. I don't care how good of a deal it is. Amen. That's why I get rid of your credit cards. When I walk into a store, I look in my billfold and I can tell you exactly what I've got to spend. Because there's not a credit card here. I got a Sam's card. But they won't give me no credit. Get rid of those things. Ship them out. Cut them up. And then when you go into the store, if you've got 25 cents, the only thing you're going to buy is something for 25 cents. Amen? I'm just being serious. And learn not to just buy everything in sight. That's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you so bound down that when Brother Ross gets up here and says, you know, we have a need here in the church. How about giving a few extra dollars this week? We have a very special need. You say, man, I ain't got an extra dollar. That's God's people. I'm telling you right now, that's God's people. They are so bound down under financial thing. When there's a need in the house of God, they say, man, I just can't give. I don't have any. I mean, you know, I just don't have nothing. I mean, I got maybe a dollar in my pocket. You understand? That's not the way it ought to be. You understand? You understand? I'm trying to help you. Okay? Live within your income. Don't live above it. And you can't live within your income with credit cards and overspend those credit cards to where you can't afford to pay them. That's not within your income. And second place, I don't know why an individual that's just living a normal life would ever need a credit card. I can understand businessmen, somebody, people who travel, do things like that. I had a man tell me the other day, in fact, I think it was Brother Hurt. He said, I have a credit card that I buy my gas on. I pay that. I think it was him. I'm not sure. But I pay my gas on, and he said, I pay that for the end of the month and don't even charge me anything. He said, I pay that. Well, I can understand that because it's, and rather than carrying cash on. But you know, what do you need a credit card for? You know why you need it? Because you don't have the cash. You don't have the cash, and you want that credit card so you can buy anything you want to buy, and you can't afford to buy it. Are you hearing me? Let me be a blessing to you. Let me help you. Amen. You come to these Wednesday night services, and I'll probably preach, like I say, 1, 2, 3, 4 or something. And it'll help you. Honestly, it'll help you. I'm not doing it to condemn you. I'm going to help you. Do you know how many people has come to me down through the years when I've taught this? Honestly, I've had people come up to me and say, Brother Ross, we're putting into practice what you taught, and we're out of debt. And boy, it's nice. Boy, it's nice. Nice not having those bill knockers knocking on your door. Nice not having them little windows come. And you want to tear them up and jam them somewhere and get rid of them. Telephone calls that say, when are you going to pay that bill? Isn't that awful? That's pressure. Horrible, horrible pressure. And you don't need that. Amen? Father, thank you again tonight for your grace and mercy. Help us to understand that you are concerned about finances. And help our dear people, Father. Help us all to do right and spend right. And Lord, if there's those that may be in debt, heavily, oh God, help them. God, help them and bless them and give them the truth of thy word that they'll begin to do according to your word. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand. As we sing, there's a need tonight, you come. Loves you. Lord loves you. Wants to meet the need of your life.